With arms of fate, I'll embrace the day, till at last I see your face. Jesus, won't you hold my hand? Jesus, won't you hold my hand?
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Last week we concluded chapter 3 and looking at the church of God, the pillar of God's truth, and how the church is the living example of God's truth. We're the ones that are in charge to hold up his truth in this world. It is not up to secular organizations. It's not up to politicians. So regardless of who the next president of this country is, we as Christians are the ones that carry the torch of truth to the lost world. Glory be to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And tonight we continue our study, and we hope that it's been a blessing for you. We invite you, if you've missed out on any of these broadcasts, you can visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts, or you can download in iTunes, or you can download an app that allows you to be able to listen to all these episodes on demand, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android. And we also invite you to contact us at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us through the airwaves, call us in. We want to know who's listening, from where you're listening. We want to know how far our broadcast is reaching. So you can call us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. You can call us and tell us, hey, Brother Lewis, Brother Javier, I'm listening to the program. It's a blessing to my life. Or if you have any other concerns, let us know. We'll be happy to address that with you. Thank you again for listening. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to be here again. Father, we pray for all your people, Lord, that are listening to this program, Father, and those, Father, that you may want to touch with this precious gospel tonight. And Father, we pray that you bless them, Father, and that you encourage them, Father, to do the work that you have called them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight we continue our study in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And last week we finished off chapter 3. And it's been a wonderful experience going through the book of Timothy. Again, the name Timothy means honoring God. And it's very interesting. We see here in the instructions that Paul is giving young Timothy as he's being instituted into leadership in the church, of what the church is about, what it's supposed to look like, what are different positions in the church, and what are the standards that we as Christians should live up to. It's not only for leaders, it's not only for pastors, but Christians should also desire to live to the high standard of the calling of God. And this book is a very important book, and especially for the last days, and especially with what we are going to be looking at tonight. And the scripture begins in 1 Timothy chapter 4, And the scripture says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and to doctrines of demons. Now, very importantly, Paul starts out this chapter by saying, now the Spirit expressly says, or the Spirit clearly says. And this is something that's interesting because the author of the scriptures is the Holy Spirit. And he has inspired the writers, the prophets, the apostles to write these scriptures. But in this specific verse, Paul says the Spirit clearly says, meaning this is a specific utterance from the Holy Spirit given to the apostle. And whenever we see something like this, it is something of a major importance. It is something that we ought to take heed to. I mean, we should take heed to all portions of Scripture. But specifically when there's an emphasis like this, like when Jesus says, verily, verily, or amen, amen, he's saying, give attention to what I'm about to tell you. Pay attention to this, because it's something very important. Here, Paul is emphasizing this is something that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is clearly saying. It's clearly saying to the church, not only to Paul, not only to the apostles, not only to Timothy, not only to those that were alive at this time, but to the generation of all generations of the Church of Christ. Because it's in the scriptures for a reason. And often we can make a mistake and say, well, you know, this is particular for this time and it may not apply to the times that we're living in. But if God put it into the scriptures, then it's pertinent, then it's important for all generations. And he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, what's interesting here, what does he mean by the latter times? Is he speaking about the end times or a particular time right before Jesus is coming back? Is he speaking about another period of time in history? And I believe that he's speaking about a specific time that was going to come right after the apostolic age, after the last apostle was gone, the apostle John, that people were going to start to depart, or in fact the Greek means that they abandon, they completely leave the faith. And what is it speaking about here when it's speaking about faith? It's speaking about the truths in scripture that we have received, the gospel, the purity of God's word that was handed down from the apostles to those in that time period. When it's speaking about the faith, it's speaking about the purity of Christianity. And some people will depart from that. They will abandon that. And they will give heed to deceiving spirits and to doctrines of demons. Meaning, they will give in to demonic spirits, because it is the devil who is the originator of lies. Jesus Christ, when he speaks to the Pharisees, he tells them that the father of lies is the devil. And right after the departure of the last apostle, which is really when the end times begins, we see that Peter in the book of Acts, when he quotes about Joel, which we know that Joel is about the end times, he says that in the last days, the Lord will pour out his spirit. And that's fulfilled in the book of Acts. So that means that the last days began when Jesus ascended to heaven. So at this time, after the departure of the last apostle, this was the time when Satan was going to try and seduce many and lead them out of the churches through deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What are doctrines of demons? Instruction, teachings. And this has always existed. But we're seeing, in the time that we live now, there is a majority of following that are in this path of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And the reason why this has happened is because there is such a hunger for the supernatural that people stray away from Scripture, which Scripture is our anchor. The Word of God is our anchor. It is what shows us truth. But when we hold up the supernatural above the Scriptures, then we are easily led away because we have nothing to anchor us down. See, there's nothing wrong with supernatural. We look at the Scriptures. God is a supernatural God. He does miracles, signs, and wonders. But the Bible tells us that also the enemy does signs and wonders. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the beast will do lying signs and wonders. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that the Antichrist will do lying signs and wonders. Now, and if you're not grounded in the truth, if you're not grounded in the Word of God, you will fall under that deception. There's nothing wrong with supernatural. God will speak to us. He will speak to us in dreams. He will give us discernment to be able to know what spirit is operating. The Bible calls that discernment of spirits. But when we follow only those things without staying in the Word of God, we are making ourselves susceptible to deception. And it's not only deceiving spirits, but it says doctrines of demons. Not only will you be deceived and lied to, but there was going to be instruction that was not coming from the Holy Spirit that may seem like it is if you don't know the Word of God. And it's even more so, the generation of today has no excuse because we have the Word of God in every type of medium available. The people that Paul was speaking to, the majority of them didn't even have Scriptures. They didn't even have Bibles. So they had to trust in those faithful men and in the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to lead them into truth. And that's what's something that's very important. We as Christians ought to love truth. Because when we don't love truth, that's when we fall into lies. The Bible says that God will send them strong delusion because they did not have the love for the truth. So then the Christian needs to have the love of the truth, because if you do not love the truth, if you will not listen to the Holy Spirit when he's nudging on your heart, when he's telling you this is not for you, don't join in this, don't be part of this. If you don't listen to that and you ignore it and ignore it and you ignore it, then God just lets you go and he gives you over to it because you do not love the truth. And what happens is when we love the truth, there's going to be many times where we're going to have to change our positions. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will show us that there's something that we're wrong about. Many times in my Christian walk have I had to change my view in things because God reveals to me specific things that I hadn't known before that caused me to change my position. And it's humbling. But if we love the truth, then we will allow God to bring about that change. See, one of the things we see here is that when we think about spiritual warfare, we often sum things down just to demonic possession or demonic oppression. And that's true. But notice that Paul also says, not only does it say deceiving spirits, not only does it say demons, spirits that can oppress people, but he also says the doctrines of demons. And this is something that's very important, because you can cast out a demon, but you can't cast out a doctrine. Because a doctrine is embedded in a person's mind and in a person's heart, and people live by that, and it takes the Holy Spirit to show them the truth and that individual to humble themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to show them what is right. And that's something that's very important to all of us, because we all come, at least me, there was a time where I was involved with false movements. I was involved with those religious movements that were really into spiritual experiences, and the Holy Spirit took me out of that. And he's had to filter those things out of my life. Because it's just as important to cast out the doctrine, to replace it with the truth, as it is to cast out the demon. How many people have fallen victims to doctrines of demons? We look at a lot of these movements that are going on. We have movements that say that hell is not real. How many people are on the way to hell because they believe that there's no such thing as hell, therefore there's no such thing as repentance, and because this is embedded in their heart and their mind, and unless they humble themselves, unless the Holy Spirit reveals to them the truth, they're on their way to hell because they've listened to the doctrine of demons.
Amen. I want to look at the scripture that our pastor just mentioned. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly. Have you ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit? Or have you ever felt as if God wanted you to do something? You wrestle with it, perhaps because you're waiting for confirmation, perhaps because you're not sure that God spoke to you to do such a thing. But here, in this particular scripture, it specifies that the Holy Spirit clearly said it. And what that means is that there was confirmation, perhaps an agreement with the brothers, that this was what the Holy Spirit was telling the church. In other words, it was a warning about something that was going to happen. You know, it shouldn't surprise us, brothers and sisters, that deceiving spirits and demons are trying to stop the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how do they do it? By changing the word, by contaminating the word. Just like my brother Javer mentioned, you know, Jehovah's Witness is just one of many who have twisted the word of God, and now many people are believing it. And the problem with that is that a lot of Christians think that everything's okay. And you know, I mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again because it's important for people to know. Things aren't okay. Even though you hear people telling you that things are okay, there's going to be chaos coming to this world. And people are going to be destroyed if they don't come to Jesus Christ. You know, I start to wonder because when I think of you guys, you know, I think of, you know, you guys like my family. I know if I had my personal family and they were going to go over a cliff, I would do anything possible to save them. Now, what I can't understand is why we have pastors and people who call themselves leaders of for Christ and yet are covering up all these dangers that we're about to face soon. And why are they not warning the people and telling them to turn from their sins and submit to Christ? This is a serious matter, folks. And somebody's got to tell the truth.
Amen. In the very next verse, Paul tells us, who are these individuals that are being used by these seducing spirits and these doctrines of demons to cause some to fall away, to abandon the faith? And he says in verse 2, he says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I like the way the ASV says. He says, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. Through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. And this is a very important issue that Jesus Christ himself addressed with the Pharisees: hypocrisy. Hypocrisy comes from the Greek word that means an actor, one who wears a mask, one who has an appearance outwardly that does not line up with who he is inwardly, or a person who makes his intentions or hides his intentions so that his real motives cannot be seen. And these individuals are not only hypocrites, but they're also liars. And that's why we as Christians should strive to be sincere, should strive to really reflect who we are and to not make ourselves more than what we are. Because when we care more about how we appear to others, we will seek to please man rather than God, to the point where we err and sin against God. And these are men who have come to the point where they believe they are beyond correction. Perhaps because of the amount of people that surround them, the amount of people that follow them, they start to feel like there's some very important prophet. I remember not so long ago, there was this preacher who got to the point where he believed that he was Elijah, the prophet. And he led many people astray because all his influence got to his head. And I think that's one of the fundamental problems with the megachurch structure, is that you have so many people coming to see this one man. And man, and from what you look in the Bible, has always been susceptible to pride. That's the greatest enemy to man. Pride turned Satan, Lucifer, who was an angel in the presence of God, into a devil. It was pride. And if that can turn an angel into the devil, how can it not also corrupt a man who allows pride to get to his head? And he says that through these individuals, these men who are hypocrites and liars, and they speak lies out of their hypocrisy. Why? Because they want people to follow them. They want people to think that they have some supernatural power that you can't go get from any other preacher, that you can't get directly from God. They make you think like they're the only ones that hear from God, and you only be blessed if you listen to them, to the point where in order to get people to follow them, they start coming out with strange doctrines. They start coming out with weird teachings that they start to get from demons and seducing spirits in order to make people seem like they have some special truth that no one else does. That they have specific mysteries that they can show them of the Bible that nobody else can. When in reality, those things are not originating in God. They're originating from hell, from demons. And these men can teach them, even if they know they're wrong, because Paul says their consciences are seared. They've been burnt out. They have no ability to feel bad about anything wrong they do, because they got into the point where they convinced themselves that what they say is scripture. I remember not so long ago, I believe it was Brother Marcos, he was talking about some church in Brazil where this man supposedly had received some words from God, and they wrote them down and they elevated those things to the level of scripture. And this is precisely what's in the hearts of these wicked men who receive from demons. And that's why we ought to look at the fruit. We ought to look at the fruit, because one of the fundamental things that these men that do these things have is that they are proud. They are arrogant. They are full of themselves. And that is not a trait of a spirit-filled man.
Amen. I want to read the scripture so that we understand that there's two points here very important. They pretend to be religious. You know, this is where the seducing spirits come to play here. They make you believe that there are people of God when they're really not. They're really liars, just like their father, the devil. The second point is, but their conscience are dead. Conscience is your inner voice. It's what the Holy Spirit does to us. It's when He warns us of when we do wrong. It is what guides us to do right and not wrong. And here in the particular verse, it says their conscience is dead. That means they have no remorse. They don't care how they hurt you or your family. They don't care whether they rob you, whether you're hungry, whether you're in need, whether you're homeless. They could really care less. The same pattern that Satan used is the same pattern that these men and women will have. Satan wanted people to worship him, and these people want people to worship them. They want people to honor them. They want to take the glory from God. And that's what's going on today, brothers and sisters. And our brothers were warning us about in these coming days that we're living today and the things that we're seeing inside the church. And you're probably wondering, Brother Lewis, inside the church? Yes, inside the church. The devil can only change things inside the church in positions of leadership. They cannot change things sitting on pews. That's why we have the situations that we have today. That's why the Word of God every day is being corrupted. Things are being accepted in the church that God would have never allowed. People think they could live worldly lives and still be accepted. We could sin. We could kill. What other justifications are we going to have? Oh, God forgives you. Just do what you want. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If we don't change, if we don't repent from our sins, we're going to be in for a big surprise.
The next verse, Paul tells us what are some characteristics of these hypocrites that are liars, whose conscience no longer tells them that they're doing wrong. And he says in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So there's three important points that we get from this verse. First of all, he says that these individuals forbid marry and they command to abstain from foods which God created, which God had provided. So we see here a form of legalism. And this is, in fact, something that was very prevalent, especially in those times where the Judaizers would come in and would try to bring people back under the law. And one of the interesting things is that Brother Lewis was saying is that these men are men that desire to receive all the glory, to take away the glory that belongs to God. Because we see that marriage is the very first institution that God makes in the garden. He says it was not good for man to be alone, so he created Eve to be his wife. And God instituted marriage. It was the very first human relationship, was marriage. And these individuals are so full of themselves that they try to dictate, they try to circumvent or to control and manipulate that which the Lord has created to bring people under bondage. And legalism is so dangerous, probably even more dangerous than being out in the world, because a person that's out in the world, they know they're wrong in the majority of cases. But a person that's a legalist, things are okay, but they're really deceived because their heart is far from God. And I know, because I've been a legalist for a long time. And you think, you worry more about your outward things and don't realize that God sees your heart. And I had to repent from that. And boy, how liberating it is. Legalism makes you think you're okay. In fact, when we look at satanic religions, you look at individuals that are involved in Santeria and they are under the slavery of some demonic spirit, and you see that these people base every single decision has to be based on what that spirit allows and what that spirit doesn't allow. And we see that Satan is the greatest legalist. He's the one that started religion. That's what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves up with the fig leaves. And that's what religion does. It makes you, gives you the appearance that you're okay, when in reality, your heart is filled with sin, because you're not relying on the saving power of Jesus Christ. So we see the very first point here is that there is going to be legalism. Legalism. And the second thing is that these men desire to exercise control. They want to be the only ones that tell you what to do. They don't want you to follow your spouse. They don't want you to follow any other relationship. They want to dominate you. And that's why it's wrong for any pastor, any spiritual counselor or leader to manipulate an individual. That is satanic and demonic. No shepherd should force the sheep. So we see we have here legalism, we have an exercise of control, which to try to dominate someone is often considered as witchcraft, because that's what witchcraft is trying to use the elements or trying to use demonic powers and spirits to be able to manipulate things into your own desires. The third thing is, it is a separation from the reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Because instead of having the Holy Spirit telling you what to do, what not to do, trusting the Holy Spirit that he would guide us correctly, it's up to a man trying to control the individual rather than that person relying on the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to be careful if you're involved in these movements that are going back to Old Testament Judaism. And that's something that God really had to take out of my life, because some of these things in the Old Testament, they're wonderful and they're signs of power and they represent very beautiful things. But the danger is when we start to get being caught up in rituals, when we start getting caught up in trying to please God under the law, because it'll suck you up like the undertow in a wave. Because your righteousness your mind, your heart will start depending on your stance with God, depending on how you're feeling or how you're walking. So if one day you don't feel so spiritually high, then that day you feel like God hasn't accepted you. The next day you did wonderful works. You helped the poor, you helped the needy, and now you feel great. And everything is dependent on your works rather than depending upon Jesus Christ. And not only is it a separation from reliance on the Holy Spirit, but it's a separation from God's grace. Which is exactly where the devil wants us to get, because when he separates us from grace, he's able to whip us with guilt, to whip us with the things of the past, to bring accusations to our lives. And it's because we've separated ourselves from the grace of God. And Paul says that these foods which God created, these meats, to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So here's the things that operate inside of a Christian. It's faith and the knowledge of the truth. Because faith and knowledge of the truth is what leads a person to salvation. A person has to believe. And believe what? The truth. If you believe a false gospel, if you believe a prosperity gospel, it doesn't matter how much faith you have in that prosperity gospel, because what you believed in is a lie, it will take you to hell. But that's why those who receive these things can eat. God, they can eat because they believe and they know the truth. And they can receive it in thanksgiving and no one can accuse them. You can eat a piece of pork, bacon, shellfish, shrimp. It will in no way hinder your relationship with God if you eat with faith.
Everything we see here, brother and sister, is nothing more than the same thing that happened in the beginning, in the book of Genesis. We see the first thing that the devil attacks is the relationship. We see that he lured Eve into eating of the forbidden fruit, which broke the relationship or the covenant that they had with God in the Garden of Eden. And this is something that it's not strange that it's happening now. We see nowadays many people getting divorced. There's no value for the pact, for the covenant that was made by God in marriage. Relationships are not valued anymore. People live with each other without any remorse. God based our relationship with Him as a marriage. It is important for Him to be in a relationship with us. Secondly, eating certain foods. This is something that was debated between the Jews and the Gentile. And it's something that God revealed to us. Whether it's based on food or whether it's based on religion. The Jews and the Gentiles wouldn't eat together. And one of the things we need to understand is that when we know the truth, we don't need to be bound in religion. We don't need to be controlled by the devil telling us what we should eat or what we shouldn't eat when God has already blessed it. And this reminds me of a passage I was reading the other day on Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius when he calls Peter. When God sends a cloth down from heaven and it had all different type of reptiles and animals on it. And he told Peter to eat of it. And he said, no, sir, by no way. And I'm just paraphrasing what it says. I'm not going to eat that. I've never done it in my life. And he says, what I have blessed is fit for eating. Now imagine, here is Cornelius, which was, he wasn't a Jew. He was part of the Roman Empire. And here he's calling Peter to come and eat in his home with his family and friends. That is something that wasn't permissible at that time. Yet God allowed it to happen to show us that we are no longer bound by those things. And now we could receive the gift of God, which was the Holy Spirit, just as the Jews do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And what's interesting about what Paul says here, verse 3, one of the key words is that they is to be received with thanksgiving. It is to be received with giving of thanks. And in fact, verse 4 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." So here he mentions again, twice, thanksgiving. Why is it so important for a Christian to give thanks? Because in thanksgiving, you are acknowledging that God is the one that supplies all your needs. You're acknowledging that all the good things that you have received come from Him. You are acknowledging Him as Lord and Creator. And you are directing your focus toward Him. It becomes now almost like a mini worship service, where you're, the Bible says you're giving Him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. The Christian should always walk in perpetual gratitude for all the things that God has given them, for all the things that God gives us. Gratitude keeps us humble, and it makes us aware of God's grace. And he says in verse 5, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And what does that word sanctified mean? It means to be, it's made holy, it's set apart, it's made special by the word of God, because God declares it, and by prayer. So when a Christian sits down to eat, it's not like any other person. It's not like a worldly person that just comes in and they're hungry and they just want to eat and satisfy their hunger. No, they sit down and they look at the food and say, "God, thank you, because you provided for me today. You fed me today. You've given me this meal to enjoy. And Father, I give you thanks." And you eat. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. That is the life of a Christian, doing all for the glory of God.
Abstaining from certain foods does not make us holy. However, when we are grateful to God for what He gives us, that is what pleases God. See, it's not the external things that please God, it's the internal things. Back in the Old Testament, the Jewish people were always trying to show God that they were holy people by trying to abstain from certain foods and things like that. Yet they failed in all of it. And God said, look, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with these foods. This has to do with your heart. And this has to do with a change of heart. And when we are people who truly love God and are grateful to God, we won't look at others like they are a minority, or certain foods when we visit certain countries, for an example, as it is something that is against God's orders or rules. And perhaps it may offend a brother or a sister. We need to break away from all these religious rules and pray over our foods, accept our brothers and sisters, and love them as God wants us to be.
Amen. And listen to the Holy Spirit, because it may be that he may be telling us, hey, don't eat that piece of bacon. Don't eat that fried chicken, not because it's going to make you sin, but because it's not good for your body. And he may speak to us in that way. And that's why we have to listen to him rather than live by rules. We have a higher standard. We have the law of the Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Ghost that shows us what is right and what is wrong as believers. And if you don't know God, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you've been listening to this broadcast, and perhaps you tuned into it by accident, or which was no accident at all, you say, Brother Javier, I don't have a relationship with God. I want to know him. I've been living all my life for myself, and I feel empty. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to this world. Being God, he became a man. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He never sinned, not even once. And the Bible says that he was crucified, he was killed in payment for our sins. He was buried and he resurrected on the third day. And the Bible says, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that you'll be saved. And you say, Brother Javier, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God. I want my life to change. And you can cry out to God right now. You can say, Father, I come before you. I confess that I am a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I ask Jesus to come into my life, to come into my heart. Give me a new life. Be the Lord of my life. Grant me your Holy Spirit so that I no longer live in sin. And let me walk with you all the days of my life. Cry out to him. The Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him tonight. Because those that he come to him, he will not reject. He will in no way cast out.
Father God, tonight, Lord, we pray that you will give us discernment, Lord, that we may understand and know who these lying spirits, deceiving spirits, Father, are. Father, that we may turn from them, Lord, that we may know your principles, Father, and statutes, Lord, engrave them in our hearts, Father, so that no devil can remove these precious gifts which you have given us, Lord. Father, I pray for the marriage tonight that are struggling, having difficulty, Lord. I speak in the name of Jesus over them right now, Lord. And I ask you to bring peace and restore them, Father. For those, Father, that are wrestling, Father, with religion, I pray that you give them discernment to understand that you have freed us from that, Lord, and that you have given us freedom to be able to serve you, Father, without limitations of food, certain clothing, or being from a certain place in the world. I pray that, Lord, you will teach us how to be grateful for what you give us daily, Lord, and that we understand that everything that you have made, you have purified for those who love you. We give you thanks for everything that you have done in our lives. And we pray that you continue to show us and reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank you for tuning in tonight to Radio Redemption and Power. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. And you can call us at 305-320-7727. Give us a call. Let us know where you're listening from. And if you have any prayer requests, we'll be happy to pray with you. Or if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, we'll also be happy to address those as well. We thank you for listening again. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
Empower! Empower! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Ah.